Hello everyone, welcome to the second season of the series of podcasts with IEEE Electron Devices Society Luminaries. As the world's largest professional organization, IEEE plays a significant role to enhance the quality of our life. Electron Devices Society, or EDS, encompasses activities involving electron devices, the main enabler for today's digital world. I'm Muhammad Mustafa Hussain, a professor of Elmore Family School of Electrical and Computer Engineering of Purdue University. I play a variety of roles in different capacities within the Electron Devices Society of IEEE. In this series of podcasts, we will be interviewing those EDS members who have made remarkable impacts in our society through their innovations and dedication. Our guest today is someone whose vision and scientific contributions to silicon on insulator technology and thin body devices has earned him the 2017 IEEE Andy Grove Award. We're speaking with Emeritus Professor Soren Christolavenu of IMIP. Born in 1949, Soren Christolavenu has completed the high school at Lazar Lyceum in Bucharest. Ranked in the front wave of a competitive national examination, he joined for 2 years the Polytechnic Institute of Bucharest, Department of Electronics. In 1969, following the invasion of Prague, he won a scholarship and moved to France, where he obtained the PhD in 1976, a state-level doctorate as Sciences 1981, and the Habilitation Diploma in 1989, all from the Polytechnic Institute of Grenoble. He worked for 2 years as assistant professor before joining the CNRS, National Center for Scientific Research, in 1977. His whole career is associated with this prestigious CNRS organization. He became a director of research in 1989, an exceptional class director in 2008. He also worked at JPL Pasadena, Motorola Phoenix, and the Universities of Maryland, Florida, Vanderbilt, Western Australia, Nanjing, and Kyung Phuc World Class University Project. He served as the director of the LPCS Laboratory and later of the Center for Advanced Projects in Microelectronics, initial seed of the well-known Vinatech Center. Soren is the recipient of the IEEE Andy Grove Award 2017, the highest distinction in micro-nanoelectronics. This prize rewards his vision and scientific contributions to silicon on insulator technology and thin body devices. He's the first recipient from France and the third one from Europe. In 2021, he was elected Doctor Honoris Causa of the renowned University of Granada, Spain. His 45-year activity is related to the development of novel technologies and the conception of advanced devices. He is a pioneer in the field of silicon on insulator, or SOI, technology, who anticipated its potential for CMOS industry very early in 1976, at a time when most thought of it as a niche for radiation-hard chips. Based on his research insights, Soren has always been one of the most visible and convincing advocates of SOI technology. His early research encompassed SOI materials development, device physics, and in-depth characterization. More recently, he shifted his emphasis towards end-of-roadmap multiple gate nanomosfets, tunnel FETs, nanowires, and innovative SOI devices for low-power memory and sharp switching circuits. His most relevant achievements with the research groups he led include contribution to the understanding and optimization of main SOI materials by unveiling their electrical properties, SOS, 1976 to 1981 and 2000 to 2003, CIMOX, 1981 to 1995, and a smart card since 1993. His work on a smart card had a major impact on the success of Soitec, the leading SOI wafer company. Development of advanced electrical characterization techniques for thin film SOI. His famous pseudo MOSFET method, published in 1992 and enriched continuously, is now an industrial standard. Other original methods were conceived for carrier mobility, lifetime, and interface characterization, noise, charge pumping, and capacitance in SOI diodes, magnetoresistance, etc. Sorin's list of publications contains over 1,300 titles, 450 articles, 42 edited books and chapters, 20 patents, 390 conference proceedings, and 420 other conference presentations. His group received 17 Best Paper Awards and 6 NASA Awards. His book on SOI characterization is a classic, still useful, and sold after 27 years. His recent book, Fully Depleted Silicon on Insulator, published by Elsevier in 2021, encompasses recent progress in physics mechanisms, device architecture, and characterization techniques. His recognition in the international arena comes also from the 180-plus invited talks at international conferences and more than 200 short courses, seminars, and IEEE distinguished lectures at universities and companies on all continents. His outstanding production reflects his scientific creativity in and off the beaten path, as well as his open-minded, charismatic character that attracted many collaborations, more than 1,000 co-authors, and excellent PhD students. Sorin is editor of Solid State Electronics since 2000. He has organized 37 important conferences, 12 as chair and 25 as a co-chair. He founded and chaired 2 successful annual summer schools, MIGAS France since 1997 and NanoKISS Korea since 2010. He was the chair of the steering committee of the top European conference, SDARC and SCRIRC, IEEE sponsored, and member of the steering committee of INFOS and EuroSY. He contributed to technical program committees of 80 plus conferences, including IEDM, SDARC, BLSITS, etc. Within IEEE, Sorin is a life fellow and a distinguished lecturer. He is also a fellow of Electrochemical Society and acted on the board of the electronics division of the same society. He participated in the governing board of his university and in international evaluation committees. Sorin has graduated 110 plus PhD students. 10 of them received the best thesis prize from Grenoble INP. He has been invited professor at the University of Maryland 1 year in 1989, world-class professor at Kyungpuk National University in Korea from 2009 to 2013. He gave multiple graduate and undergraduate courses in Grenoble, Perth, Glidden Award at University of Western Australia, Vanderbilt University, Sao Paulo, Udine, etc. Sorin's research was performed in close contact with industry. He had the responsibility of 120 plus projects with companies in France, ST Microelectronics, Freescale, Soitec, Europe, USA, Japan, Australia, and Korea. He is scientific consultant for Soitec since 2000 and contributed to the commercial success and leadership on the SOI market. He also consulted for JPL, NASA, IBIS, Motorola, etc. Characterization techniques have been transferred from his group to industry. His former PhD students now work in research centers, universities, and major companies such as ST Microelectronics, Global Foundries, Soitec, TSMC, Sony, Texas Instruments, Samsung, SK Hynix, etc. And daily infuse the expertise acquired with Sorin. He strongly contributed to initiate the well-known MINATEC Center. Finally, his patents have practical industrial applications with societal implications. How are you doing today?
Hi, Muhammad. Long time no see. Thank you for the invitation. It is a pleasure to talk with you. I'm okay, but you know, we all can do better because first, we still have this war against the COVID. Second, this invasion of Ukraine. And number three, the tunneling transistors do not work very well yet.
Okay, I think, like, you know, that we have endured, all of us, a lot of pain. We have lost our families and friends during the COVID. But because of the vaccination and the awareness among many of the people around the world, I hope that we are transitioning to a better phase with COVID. And obviously, it is disturbing that we do have an occurrence, a tragic incident like invasion of Ukraine, a sovereign state, in the 21st century. I cannot imagine that this kind of occupation, a populist, you know, the propaganda based, the authoritarian regimes in many of parts of the world, that what's happening. And the third one is, like, you know, the well, give it some time for the tunnel transistors. If this is not the time, then it might be for another time. But we'll talk about that little more today. So thanks for joining us. So I will start from the very beginning. If you can kind of share some interesting, you know, the fond memories of your childhood, how you grew up, your school life.
Yeah, you know, I was born in a communist country, but I was not unhappy at all. Without TV, I was reading a lot. Without electronic games, I enjoyed chess. Without cars, we could play football in the street. You know, we had just one type of shoes and one uniform. So we did not waste too much time on fashion. So we used to talk a lot, tell jokes, make very good friends. The good thing was that theaters and concerts were very, very cheap. So sometimes we could go maybe two or three times a week. Never happened after. But the miserable part was when my father would need to take me in the street to tell me sensible things far from the ears of the secret police, because the walls of our apartment were not safe. But you know, Muhammad, now Google and Facebook know much more about us than any secret police would have dreamed. Well, my high school in Bucharest has exceptional professors. And my hobby was solving complicated math problems. I hated chemistry, but I won a big national prize because my professor was a very young and extremely attractive lady. So I wanted to please her. And we had also in the high school, we were forced to learn Russian language for 8 years. So you imagine we all detested that. And when it was over, I hurried to forget it. And now I realize it was a very stupid act. And then the Polytechnic Institute in Bucharest, which is still the best university. The exam was very tough, with one place for 20 candidates. And I selected the Faculty of Electronics without really knowing what electronics was, except that it had very good reputation. And after 2 years of heavy math and physics program, I won a scholarship to continue in France. And it was a grant offered by France to reward the free position adopted by Romania during the invasion of Prague in 1968. So not the analogy with the invasion of Kiev now. So soon after this brave act of independence, Ceausescu became totally insane and caused the economy and the food situation to fall to unbearable levels. So I decided to stay in France. And my grand regret is that this decision separated my family in France from my parents and sister for about 20 years. Let me tell you a memorable moment. We were at the airport in Washington, ready to embark back to France after the sabbatical year. And in the airport, the TV announced the shooting of Ceausescu. So I was crying, and I kept crying in front of the immigration officer. And he said, very impressed, he said, "Sir, I understand your tears. It is so unfortunate for you to return to France after 1 year with us." Very funny.
You know, that thanks for sharing all these fond memories, which, you know, that and in the most transparent way, you know, that when you grew up, or I actually remember I was a young kid watching in the live television when Ceausescu and his wife, they were like, you know, the they were actually gunned down by the firing squad. I still remember, I think in back in 19, somewhere in the 87, 89, right. You know, I learned about Romania when I was in grade 3, Nadia Comăneci, right? She was,
yes.
She was the legendary gymnast who scored 10 out of 10 in the Olympics, definitely. But I think, like, you know, as you also mentioned about, like, you know, the in today's world, because of the social media, we basically volunteer more information than it's being asked from us, right? Like, you know, the privacy most probably does not exist anymore. But anyway, let's move on. And I think, like, you know, let's talk about, like, you know, so where did you go for your undergraduate or college study? And how was that life?
Well, I continued my studies in Grenoble, in France. After I graduated, the topic of my PhD was a shame. So imagine a thin slab of indium antimonide exposed to crossed magnetic and electric fields, like in a Hall effect configuration. But instead of measuring the Hall voltage, I had to measure the difference in temperature between the two surfaces. So this is the Ettingshausen effect that nobody cares about. And the idea was to make an oven on one surface with energy extracted from the other surface, which acted like a fridge. So brilliant, brilliant idea. But at the end of the day, I was measuring millidegrees with a thermocouple, terrible. So you can imagine how frustrated and unhappy I was. And this is the time I promised myself that my PhD students, future PhD students, will be given very captivating and competitive topics. And also I decided that any other topic than the 18,000 effect would be a lot more exciting. And a few time afterwards, a guy asked me to look at magnetodiodes on silicon on sapphire. And this was my first rendezvous with SOI. I felt in love straight away. And you know, after 50 years, I am still faithful. But you know, in France, we have also a superior degree of, which is called state level doctorate. So it was 5 years after the PhD. And all this period of 5 years was entirely dedicated to SOI. And already I had a little research group. And with my students, we worked hard and produced a few ideas. And we were very lucky to get the recognition fast enough. So the number of cooperation increased a lot, leading to some kind of positive feedback loop. Okay. So this explains the large number of co-authors we have, more than 1,000 spread over all continents, including you, Muhammad. And one of them said that actually friendship, because we are all friends now, he said, friendship is actually proportional to distance. And I like it very much.
Okay. That's very interesting. So, like, you know, that silicon on sapphire substrate, that, you know, that kind of started your 50 years long journey, and the contributions, the significant impact that you have made, you and your collaborators and your team in the field of this kind of silicon on insulator type substrates related devices. So tell me a little bit that, okay, it started with that substrate, but what really fascinated you toward electron devices?
Well, you know, I thought that the physics of electron devices is more fascinating than their fabrication or design. This is because I'm not brave enough. It is easier to conceive a new device than to fabricate it, right? And the first source of inspiration at that time was the famous book written by Grove. And I read it in three different languages to make sure that I understand properly the text. And once in the SOI world, I enjoyed very much the variety of mechanisms and devices. So this is the source of inspiration. If you have a few minutes, I can remind you the real story of SOI, very short.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, soon after the fabrication of the very first integrated circuits, it was realized that they were hurt by radiation effects. And at that time, it was the time of the Beatles. But what was terrifying was the other music of Brezhnev, which was the music of Cold War. So the US military ordered integrate the transistors in a thin silicon film on top of a dielectric. And this is how silicon on sapphire started. And it was developed with defense budgets. By the end of the 70s, it became clear that SOS was not the best choice because the substrate is infinite. You know? And many alternative structures, including CyMOX, came out of very bright minds. And this period of 80s was a very glorious moment where the physics of SOI transistors became well understood. We had already double gate MOSFETs, three-dimensional monolithic circuits, gate all around transistors, and some crazy devices that revealed the richness of SOI mechanism. You know, when too many SOI materials keep competing, none is really convincing, right? So in early 90s, Soitec company was launched in my town in Grenoble and brought on the market the incredible ion cut technology. And it was, of course, named SmartCut and became the leading SOI technology. And in the last 25 years, one by one, all other SOI materials gave up. SmartCut provides excellent crystal quality, flexible dimensions, mass production. And although SmartCut encouraged new materials to bond together, the divorce of the old couple, which is silicon and silicon dioxide, is impossible. And you know, it has been very obvious, at least for us for a long time, that fully depleted SOI is best equipped to downscale it. Because devices with ultra-thin body are more immune to parasitic effects. And by now, SOI wafers feature a silicon film that is less than 10 nanometer, and the buried oxide is 20 nanometer thick. So imagine a cargo traveling an ocean that is only a few meters deep. Okay, so without waves or tsunamis, the cargo moves faster with reduced consumption. And this is exactly what happens in advanced SOI transistors, where the electrons move faster and dissipate less energy. So we anticipated quite early the potential of FD-SOI technology. I strongly believe that it will replace the dying bulk silicon technology. But Intel made the big surprise introducing the FinFETs. However, you see, FD-SOI did not give up, and today the market is booming, and all our cell phones carry a big piece of SOI, and soon all cars will have SOI. It is the perfect technology for low power circuits, for IoT, for reconfigurable devices, and so on. That is the short story. Now, a lot more details are in my book.
No. Thank you so much, like, and for sharing with us. You know, the one of the things that you mentioned, that you read the book of Andy Grove,
yes,
and eventually you actually won that award in 2017, if I know it correctly. So that is like the Andy Grove Award, which is the most prestigious award in the field of micro nano electronics. So congratulations for that.
Thank you very much. I really admire this book, and this award came to me like a very, very nice surprise.
Right. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your first job after your PhD.
Well, my initial job was in a semiconductor fab for a few months, and it was not really thrilling. You know, I was watching the clock to see when I can get home. But a few months later, I became assistant professor, and 2 years after, I joined the CNRS, which is the National Center for Scientific Research in France, where I could give all my time to research. So I stopped watching the clock, being very happy to work many hours, days and evenings. And I was very lucky, you know, because my wife took care of the house and logistics, and men let me concentrate on research. And also my position was permanent, with total freedom to pick up the topics. So I was lucky. However, I kept teaching for 35 years. Now, Muhammad, have a guess, please. What did I teach?
What?
Superior mathematics.
Okay.
And you know why? The reason was very egoistical. I didn't want to forget the math and disappoint my very brilliant PhD students.
Well, eventually, like, you know, that at the end of the day, math applies everywhere, and obviously in the semiconductor technology in many different ways, right? Like, you know, the from the doping concentration measurement to fixing that to ion implantation to, you know, whatnot. Everywhere there is definitely the role of mathematics is involved. So I think, like, you know, the you did the right thing. So my next question is that this is a kind of bit, like, you know, the debatable, but some people have agreed, some say that they never had it. So did you have any eureka moment in your career that you still celebrate?
You know, I don't think one. I think many, many moments, because any scientist has plenty of eureka moments in his life, because this is the essence of the research. Maybe my first one was the revelation of the SOI technology and devices. And a later one happened when I realized the fabulous potential of electrostatic doping for reconfigurable devices. But small eureka moments, I think, almost every week, every day.
Right. You know that when the ideas start to bubble up, you never know. During just a conversation or in the heat of the moment, it's just, you know, the sparks in. So you have worked on many different aspects of the SOI technology. So if you can pick one and share some of the associated memories with that, and your colleagues, or your team members, like, you know, the a story which has been an inspiring one.
You know, Muhammad, this question is not fair because you cannot ask a father who of his kids he likes best, right? So I got involved in a lot of topics. Maybe should I start with the pseudo MOSFET, which is the simplest transistor because it does not have a gate and it is operated from the substrate with pressure probes used at source and drain contacts. The simplest. Now, the most complicated is the four gate transistor with four independent gates. And more recently, we demonstrated also the heavily doped Tezaki diode without any doping at all. So instead of heavy doping, we just use the gates to induce free carriers that act like doping, electrostatic doping. And also, maybe I like very much the band modulation devices with vertical switching capabilities. But to answer you differently, I'm very proud of all our innovating things that once submitted to publication were rejected straight away. Because they were out of the beaten path and the reviewers were not prepared. For example, this is the case of volume induction, which was rejected immediately. We had a hard time to publish. But you know, after 35 years, volume induction is just governing the operation of all nanosize devices. And more recently, the same fate occurred to the supercoupling effect, which prohibits the coexistence of electrons and holes in a very thin body. But in general, to answer your question, I'm very proud of the success of the SOI technology and devices nowadays.
Right. I think that's the premium choice of substrates. And for many emerging material system, which actually requires the support of an insulating, the host substrate, from that perspective, I think, like, you know, it has a lot of potential. And specifically when we look at the extremely thin SOI or ultra thin SOI, where we are literally dealing with 2 to 5 nanometer of silicon, maybe in future there will be some more hyperscaled material system which can also be transferred the way that it is being done today on the SOI substrate. So definitely, like, you know, that there are, you know, there's still a long way to go. Okay, let me switch to now to a little bit like a lighthearted section of our conversation, which is very popular with our younger audience, and because they get to know in a more, I would say that at a like, you know, in a personable way. So we call it the rapid fire round. We'll be asking you some questions. We anticipate that you are going to respond to that with one or two words, but you definitely can elaborate if you like to do it that way, okay? If you're ready, I'll go ahead and we'll start the questions. Okay, what are your hobbies?
Bridge competition and of course, wine tasting.
Okay. Music or movie? Which one you enjoy more?
Both, but not at the same time.
Okay. So what is your favorite genre in music as well as in movies?
I'm on the jazz side because I'm not educated enough for opera and concerts, but I like anyway. And my favorite movies are the good ones, can be recent or old. So never fast food, never fast movie, never fast science.
Okay. What is the book you are reading now?
Right now, you know, I am reading again the classic Americans like Hemingway, O'Hara, Steinbeck, and I am fanatic about Nabokov.
Okay. What is your favorite cuisine?
My favorite what?
Cuisine, food.
Oh, cuisine. Of course, my wife's cuisine. It is a kind of Mediterranean cuisine with a lot of flower accents. But when I'm on travel, I like to taste any kind of cuisine just to inform myself.
Okay, that's the most loveliest for you to say, to appreciate your wife's cooking. Definitely, like, you know, the Mediterranean food is really the delicious. And when you're, the love of your life is preparing that, it becomes the loveliest. So thanks for sharing that. Okay, any sports you enjoy?
Excuse me?
Any sports you enjoy?
Sports. You know, I play a lot of tennis. In summer, I do swimming, biking. You know, my place, Grenoble, is very famous for ski, but I'm a disaster. And in front, yes, and in front of the TV, I love watching football, soccer.
Okay. What is your favorite travel spot?
Well, my favorite travel spot is back home.
Okay.
But otherwise, I like sunny places like Caribbean or Greek islands. And I had memorable professional trips in Granada, in Udine, in San Diego, in Perth, in Rio, in many places.
Okay, very good. Okay, so we are now at the last part of our conversation. Here, we will be looking to the future through your perspective. So from that context, my first question is, what is your thought about electronics in the future?
What I think is that the electronic, nano-electronic products have more impact on our society now than any religion or politics. And maybe this is beautiful or devastating, but it doesn't matter because the progress is inevitable and we have to live with that. I bet that CMOS will be around for a while. And the grandkids of my grandkids will still enjoy silicon chips. Actually, you know, Muhammad, we can have a bet together because I know you recently compared the performance of silicon and carbon chips. Do you want to take it?
And if
you take the bet, it's one case of champagne.
Yeah. Okay, so, and you know that in that paper, we basically took the best demonstrated data ever from all the emerging materials, and we compared with a very modest data set from silicon-based FinFETs from 14 nanometer node. And we decisively showed that why silicon actually stands out for data integration, data management, part of any kind of systems, electronic systems that we can think of. So thanks for telling that. I as the someone who is interviewing, that I should not have a bias, but definitely silicon is somewhere I feel it as my wheelhouse. So, and thanks for being one of the, the remarkable father figures in the field from that perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I cannot believe that our brave MOSFET will be demolished by spin or tunneling devices. They all can coexist, but for this, the latter should succeed. And, the way the CMOS will evolve from FinFET of ABSOI to nanowires 3D of co-integrated photonics electronics is everyone's guess. But also alternative technologies for sensing, high power, wearable communication will all gather around the CMOS. And I think same thing for silicon. It will be surrounded by 2D, 3.5, and other emerging materials, but without the silicon dynasty being hurt.
Right, right. Okay, you used the right word, coexist. I think, like, you know, that is the way that it will happen. Heterogeneous integration of hybrid set of materials and devices.
Yeah.
Okay. So my next question, it can be technological, you can respond it, or non-technological, doesn't matter. Is there anything that strikes your mind which can be better today?
Yeah. You know, one thing I don't like is the concentration of fabrication units in just a few places around the planet. Even there are good reasons in terms of efficiency and cost, but this over concentration of production units generates economical frictions and can degenerate in political conflicts. For example, you know, Europe cannot depend on chips fabricated exclusively in Asia, and same for the US. So I'm thinking that this is kind of a colonialism, a new form of colonialism, where the machine guns are replaced by silicon chips. And also I think that it is not safe to separate creativity in one place and the production in a different place. And another regret I have is that the incredible development of communication tools makes people to talk less to each other. So instead of face-to-face relations, we have face-to-Facebook relations that ruin our traditions, social traditions. We don't have the chance to get a few glasses of wine together. We just post things.
Right, right. and because of those reaction buttons, we depend a lot on our impulses rather than like digesting what really happened. And then to give a measured response, we basically live on reactions rather than our responses. Okay, my next question. What application would you like to see in the future that does not exist today?
Yeah, the application I would love is to be able to prevent the psychopaths of getting power. And this is out of reach for nanoelectronics. So let's think about a simpler application able to keep our secrets secret. Right?
All right. All right. Okay. Last question from the scripted one. What is your one piece of advice for the younger generation?
This is very, very important question. And I would say the graduate students have to prepare for a job that will make them happy every day. And within the electron device family, the technical skills are very important. So try to accumulate as many as possible, but without altering your intrinsic creativity. Because the research arena is very demanding and competitive. It is wonderful, but can be cruel and frustrating. So in any competition, there is a winning party and a losing party. So my advice for graduate students is, look, if your work does not make you smile for a long time, then turn to teaching, industry, or business, because these are very rewarding jobs.
I got it. Anyway, thank you so much, Sorin, for this lovely discussion. This is a question that I asked actually from the unscripted, and this is from me, like, you know, was there anything that we didn't ask you, but you wanted to talk about?
Well, not really. Yeah, there is a very important question, you know. I'm wondering about your new job in Purdue, and I wish you good luck there, and see you soon.
Thank you for attending this IEEE EDS-sponsored podcast. To listen to other EDS podcasts, as well as benefits and resources EDS offers, please go to the website eds.ieee.org. Thank you for listening.